Well, thank you very much for the special music. It's so enjoyable to hear that, and I always think about how appreciative God is of hearing songs of praise offered to him. So thank you for your time and efforts in preparing that. Well, several years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to visit the country of Israel. And we went over there on a 10-day trip. And one of the things we noticed while we were there is the Sabbath elevator. We were staying in a complex with several stories. And even though it wasn't the Sabbath, they had it marked Sabbath elevator. And the purpose of that elevator was it just automatically stopped at every floor. And the reason for that was so you didn't have to push a button. You know, for the Sabbath, they considered that work. And so you could use the regular elevator or you could go in that one and you just get in. And I believe we tried it a time or two, but if you wanted to go to the third, fourth, or fifth floor, you'd just stop at the second, you'd stop at the third, and so forth. And so you think about how different the Sabbath would be if everything we did was like that, where we had no stove, because on the Sabbath you couldn't do any cooking, or you couldn't flip a light switch, which in some places some people follow that rule, or you couldn't even drive, because to turn on the engine, to fire the engine, would be breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus Christ corrects the Pharisees on their Sabbath observance. We notice in the Gospels how they were always saying things and doing things, and Jesus Christ would get on them. And they have 39 areas of prohibited work, and those 39 areas have been broken down into hundreds of rules that were given. And I remember reading one of them. It was even forbidden to carry a key. Now, you could carry something in your house, but you couldn't carry your key outside of the house. So they were very innovative, and they would figure out how to make the key into a tie clip where you could clip it on your tie. And that was okay to wear it, but you couldn't carry it. Or they'd put it as a part of their belt buckle and do that. And so you think about all the things that people have tried to do to get around certain rules. As I read some of those restrictions that certain Jewish denominations have, the women were forbidden even to look in a mirror. Not that it was wrong to look in the mirror, but if they looked in the mirror and saw a gray hair and they plucked it, that was considered a form of work. And so you look at what man does when he starts deciding what is work and what is not. Another rule was that, oh, you could spit, but on the Sabbath day, if you got a bug in your mouth and you wanted to spit it out, you better not do it on the Sabbath day, because when that spit hit the ground and it parted the dust, that was considered a part of harvesting or plowing. And so you think about the rules that have been made. Another one was if you had shoes that had nails in them, you could wear them throughout the week, but not on the Sabbath, because you were carrying an extra weight on the Sabbath day with those nails in your shoes. And I want us to consider a little bit today how the rules became like that, because we know that some of those things go way out there. And why were some of those laws added as they were? Well, let's begin here in Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, and we'll begin in verse 21. And here, Jeremiah tells one of the reasons that Judah fell and went into captivity is because their observance of the Sabbath day. And so they were warned through the prophets of how important God's Sabbath was. Let's notice what God inspired Jeremiah to write here. Jeremiah 17, verse 21. Thus says the Eternal, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. So someone could look at this scripture and they go, oh, look, see, it says not to bear a burden. I'm not going to carry that key. I'm not going to pick up this item. It goes on and saying, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. It goes on to say that if the Israelites would keep God's Sabbath, and if they would do that properly, that God says your cities would remain forever. You know, I'll protect you, I'll bless you, and you will do well. I will bless you in that way. But skipping down to verse 27, it says, but if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, notice what God says, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. God is saying, basically, if you continue to break down and disobey my laws, that I will destroy you. And we know that those nations went into captivity. And so you think about that and all the things that have happened. God is saying, if you don't respect my Sabbath, in other words, if you ignore my commands, then I will bring you to an end. And you think about the captivity that the children of Israel went into, and God allowed a portion of Judah to return 70 years later, and they remembered these messages that were given through the prophets of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And they had thoughts of that, like, wow, we had to suffer these years, and now we're back here and blessed again. We have to be careful. And so the Pharisees were a strict branch of Judaism, and they had religious authority during the time of Jesus Christ. So they began to create rules, extra rules, to kind of put a hedge around God's laws so they wouldn't even get close to breaking them. And yet they had an extreme interpretation of God's laws. They didn't want to make the same mistake. And so they added regulations saying, okay, we can do this, and no, we can't do these things. And they began to add that. And yet it's typical of humans, isn't it? That if we're over here in this ditch and we're not obeying, such as Israelites of old, they got away from the Sabbath and we're in that ditch and God says, no, walk on the path. No, we tend to go over into the other ditch and go to that extreme. And so they had a form of legalism and they substituted their laws for God's laws. Please turn with me next to the book of Isaiah. We'll just go back to Isaiah here and look at Isaiah 59. And verse 1. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. It's easy for us as men and women to think that we're doing very well in our lives and not to consider if we have room for improvement. And yet Judah, prior to their captivity, had let down in many areas. And so God would send his prophets to them. He's saying, I'm giving you, my children, a reminder of where you're straying from my truth. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. So God says, I have that power to save you, that it cannot, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. And then he says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. These words weren't just for the Israelites. They're for all generations. They're for us here today, that we need to listen to that. And we have to consider, how do we push God out of our life so that he doesn't hear us? Because we all do things that are not right. The people of Judah were blinded. They even saw their brother, the Israelites, go into captivity approximately 150 years before them. And they knew why. They knew the reasons, and yet they were complacent and fell into the same habits. And yet this chapter describes how displeased God is when his people disregard his laws. And we need to take that to heart. We need to think about what God is asking us to do today. So let's look at the previous chapter here, just a couple verses back. And look at chapter 58 here in Isaiah, verse 13. And we'll notice how important this day is to God. And that Israel was punished for breaking this Sabbath day as well as many other rules. Isaiah 58, verse 13, it says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the eternal honorable, and shall honor him. And notice how we do that. Not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Isn't that amazing, brethren? I think each one of us could take these items and apply them to our lives and say, how can we do better in these things? Because we all have faults and weaknesses, and we need to think about that. Judah and Israel had known the importance of the Sabbath day, and yet they had let down and not followed God's goal for them. And man has always had a tendency to ignore God and choose what he thinks is best. So we should ask ourselves, is it possible that we could do better in honoring God on his Sabbath day? Just like we heard in the sermonette, you know, those 20 fundamental beliefs we have, the Sabbath is one of those, and we want to keep it properly. You know, we live in a much different time today than back in the 600 BC. You know, we have a faster pace, we have more knowledge, but our nature is just the same, isn't it? We still have that human nature, and so we have a tendency to let down in areas. And yet we show God honor by refraining from our normal routine on this day. And that's what's hard for us. We get in these habits throughout the other 6 days, and then all of a sudden we go, we have to tweak this a little bit and change some of the things we do. Is it possible that we could do better in keeping the Sabbath day holy? I think we can, each and every one of us. Notice verse 14. It says, if you do this, if we keep the Sabbath day holy, then it says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. What an amazing blessing that is, for simply keeping a law that blesses us. I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Eternal has spoken. We know that God's words are true. They are faithful. And so what God has spoken here can be applied to us and to all of mankind as they observe these laws. And we desire to enjoy life and to go forward and feel blessed in so many ways. And that's what God is offering to us. So my title today is Your Sabbath a Delight? You know, we've kept the Sabbath. For some of you, it's been decades. But is it a delight? Because that's what God is asking of us here. Do we observe this day as God intended? And many of us may think, well, I think we do. But isn't that what Israel and Judah thought before they went into captivity? So you and I are invited now to prepare, to mature, and to get ready for the kingdom. And God is asking us to grow in that, to think about how we can please God more, how we can receive greater blessings, because that's what God wants to give to us as his children. And the Bible gives us direction in how to honor God and keep his seventh day holy. And we know that's important to God. He's reminded us of that over and over. So today I would like to cover 3 points which are instrumental in how well we respect God every seventh day. My first point is a command to remember. You know, God gave us this day, and he made it a commandment, but he says, don't forget this one. This is so important. And years ago, I was talking to a person that had been in the church for decades. Not just years, but decades. And there was a point in their time when they stopped keeping the Sabbath day. And one of the reasons they brought up for doing that, they said, you know what? I cannot worship a God who had to rest on the Sabbath day. And I just looked in amazement because I knew this person pretty well. I thought, you worship that God for all those 30, 40 years, but now you're saying just because he has to rest? And I said, he doesn't have to rest. And they wouldn't even listen. And it's amazing what we can get into our minds and think about down the road, just like this person never dreamed they would be saying that. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 as we look at some of these scriptures that speak to the Sabbath. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Most of us recognize Exodus 20 as one place where the Ten Commandments are listed. But brethren, it's easy to be familiar with the Ten Commandments but not even read them. Not even think about what it says. We just go, well, we know those. And Israel was already observing the Sabbath, but God put it in writing here at Mount Sinai. And his laws were codified, which means they were arranged into a systematic code so that God says, well, there they are. You know, I can say them to you, but maybe you'll say, I forget. No, he says, I'm going to write them down for you so you'll never forget these. They're that important. Let's read a few verses here. Exodus 20, starting in verse 8. It starts out with the word remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Eternal your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so only the fourth commandment says to remember it. Not that God wants us to forget any of the others, but this one, he knew that down through the ages, people would tend to forget and stop walking that way. And here verse 11 points back to the creation of what God did. It's a reminder of who our supreme being is that gave us these days and gave us life. And yet we know the world knows that it's wrong to kill, it's wrong to lie and steal. Most people recognize that, but so many people don't even know that it's important to keep the Sabbath day anymore. Just like that lady referred to in the sermonette, talking to Mrs. Robinson, that you think Sunday's okay? You know, people get away from that and they forget. So God sets his day apart from others and he puts his blessing on it. He literally sanctifies it, which means sets it apart. It's a special day. And so we see two instructions here in Exodus 20. One is do no work. We have to stop and think about that. You know, back then it was an agricultural society. And so much of their life was just taking care of the crops and planting and harvesting. And today we have different jobs, you know, but we're told to take off and do no work. So no matter what career you've had, we need to not do that. But it also includes work around the house, such as doing our laundry, taking care of our yard, shopping, and even those in school, not to do school work. I've seen so many children over the years doing their homework, which you can tell the word work is right in there. They don't stop doing that during the annual holy days or the weekly Sabbath. They don't take a break from that. And here it says, the stranger within your gate. So if a family member, a friend, or just a visitor comes by, that you have to make sure under your household that you observe this and they cannot do work as well. Years ago, my son, after he had graduated from high school, he came to live with us a few years during college. And he knew what we observed, and he was no longer walking this way. But I told him, here's the house rules. You know, he was helping out because he didn't have to pay room or board. And I said, well, you can help out with mowing the yard and taking care of the pool. And so he respected that because he knew that was the rules of the house. He also knew that he couldn't do his laundry on the Sabbath day because, you know, it was within my gates, and I needed everybody in my household to respect that. It also goes further than that. I've heard individuals that are members even forget, and they eventually say, oh, my air conditioner broke down. It was so hot during the summer, I called out the repairman. And you go, on a Saturday? So we have to be careful that we're not bringing in workers into our house, paying them and having them do work. You know, same goes with your appliances or lawn service. We want to make sure that we're not allowing work to be done on our property. It's under our care. So, brethren, it's not easy after 6 days of a normal routine to all of a sudden change that, is it? Because things that were okay those other 6 days, we're not talking about sins those other 6 days, but things that were okay that God says, now on this day, I want you to set that aside. Take a break from that. So the second item, besides doing no work, is to keep the day holy. That word holy means dedicated or consecrated to God or to a religious purpose. It means it's sacred. That's what God is asking us to do towards this day. So everything we do or say on the Sabbath should honor God, and we must distinguish how we use our time. The Sabbath is not just about stopping work, is it? You know, there's things we need to set aside, but it's about what we replace back into our life so that it is holy. Let's go back to Genesis now, chapter 2 and verse 1. Very familiar scriptures that we're touching on here, but it's good to read them from time to time. Genesis 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. And so this seventh day has God's blessing on it. I mean, every day in a sense is blessed, but this has a special blessing that God notes here. And he also sanctified it. In other words, he set it apart as holy. And that's important for us to remember. There's no mention of the word Sabbath here, but the word rested in Hebrew is actually the word Shabbat. And you think about that. That word means to cease or to abstain from exertion. And it's actually the root word for the word Sabbath. So we can see that God Sabbathed, in a sense. He rested from his work, and he shows that as an example for us. Once again, as that individual had mentioned to me years earlier, I'm not going to worship a God who needs to rest, but God didn't need to. He was setting us an example. He is almighty and all-powerful. He doesn't need to rest. But he's showing mankind what was best for us. Out of love, he's saying, this will give you the best life, my children. We need to think about that. Let's go and look at another aspect of the Sabbath in Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31 and verse 12. God reminded Israel of a special covenant he had with them. In other words, he made an agreement with the children of Israel. And we all have a tendency to forget that. Here in Exodus 31, we'll begin in verse 12. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the eternal. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant." Notice it mentions this again. Verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now you think about Israel. You know, here it says between God and Israel, but Israel was simply God's chosen nation. They were to be an example to the rest of the world of how God wanted them to live. And so we could hold up a sign today and say, we're God's people. But that wouldn't go over too well, are we? They go, you mean I'm not God's person? And so that wouldn't sit well with many. But this day, Saturday, not Sunday, is a sign. You know, we don't have to hold it up, but when we live by that Sabbath day and someone comes along and says, why are you waiting for this ride? And you go, because it's the Sabbath day. See, that's a sign. And so we need to stand up for that. We have to remember that God sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He's working with us. He's developing us for his kingdom. And so every Saturday we rest from our labors, just as God set that example when he refurbished the earth back in Genesis. Now let's go to Mark chapter 2. We'll go to the New Testament and look at a couple verses there, Mark 2 and verse 27. You know, as you go through the years of being a member in the church, you should think about how can I improve in growing to be more pleasing to God? How can I worship him and show dedication to God in my actions, especially regarding the Sabbath day? Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. It says, "And he said to them," so these are the words of the Christ, he says, "the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." So when you think about mankind, God says this is for everyone. The majority of men do not know that, but one day they will. And so God is saying there's a purpose for it. He never intended it to be a burden. He doesn't want it to be difficult, to be a hardship. It doesn't want it to be a list of forbidden items like, no, you can't do that and can't do that. But there are things that we shouldn't do, but we can always look at it wrong. But instead, God says, I want it to be positive. I want it to be beneficial for your well-being. You know, as a child, I didn't always delight in the Sabbath day. I was raised by my parents, and they didn't give me a lot of instruction on it. They observed it, but they didn't give us a lot of reasons why. And so I always remember looking forward to sundown when it would be like, oh, now I can go have fun. Now I can enjoy these things. And yet God wants us to look at it in a different way. Excuse me. We must learn to delight in the Sabbath day. It's a time to rejoice, a time to focus on our very purpose, on the plan of God, and our future in the family of God. Notice verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now think about that. Today, Jesus Christ still holds that role. He's over it. And we are blessed by that. And he has the authority to tell us how to keep it holy. So we need to really stop and think about our actions on this day from sunset last night to tonight, that 24-hour period. Do we keep it holy? It's critical that we honor our Father and Jesus Christ by obeying the Sabbath commandments. Because he's told us, we've already read, that it's holy. He's blessed it. He's sanctified it. He's hallowed it. All these wonderful things. And that it's a sign to us. So we need to remember the importance of this day. That's the first point. Let's look at a second point. Improve your Sabbath preparation. Improve your Sabbath preparation. You know, haven't we all found ourselves Friday evening as the sundown approaches, rushing around with a few minutes to sundown, trying to get everything done? I know I've had that happen in my life. And it's easy to push it to the last second. You might look at your watch and say, oh, I have 10 minutes left. Oh, I have 5 minutes left. And you get to going, and all of a sudden you look and you go, oops, it's 2 minutes after. It's 3 minutes after. And I just worked on God's Sabbath day. And so we really have to prepare in a way where we're not just taking it right up to sundown and making those things, you know, like, I've got to get this done. But God is saying, keep it holy. So sometimes we have to just let that set aside, or we have to start earlier in our preparation. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16 and verse 3. I think we should follow the example of our Father and Jesus Christ. We know they are planners. They plan everything out in detail. You know, they plan this earth. They plan the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They plan for us to have the words in the Bible. They've got it all laid out. And so we can improve in our preparation for the Sabbath day as well. So this is roughly 1 month after leaving Egypt, and the people were complaining already. Let's notice a few verses here. Exodus 16, verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of mead, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Brethren, notice that they had to prepare. And that's what we need to do. We call Friday a preparation day. We're getting ready for the Sabbath day. And we don't want to be rushing around at the last minute or working 5 or 10 minutes over into the Sabbath day. That takes away the holiness of what God is trying to teach us there. And so God wanted Israel to have extra time to enjoy the Sabbath. He says, don't go out and gather your food that day. He said, I'll give you a double amount on Friday. You can pick it up and have it ready, and you can enjoy more time on the Sabbath to visit, to study, to learn, to grow, just as we should today. And yet the people weren't to gather extra on any other day. And what do people do, of course? They went and gathered extra on other days. And then it said it bred worms, and it began to stink. And so the people found out the hard way. And then other times they didn't gather the double portion, so it wasn't there when they went out Sabbath morning to go pick it up. It's like, where is it? They had already been told. They just didn't listen. Let's go down to verse 22. And it was so on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Eternal. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. Verse 24, so they laid it up until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, But on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. So, brethren, we need to take some of these applications and apply them today and to realize that God wants us to be prepared. There are things that we should be getting ready on Friday so that we're not caught off guard. And so it took work to gather that manna. And God says, I want you to take a break from that. That's what he was offering the children of Israel, and the same today. We're asked to prepare, get ready, so that we can delight in this day even more so. In ancient times, you think about all the work involved with just cooking a meal. Yeah, you had to gather your wood. You had to stoke the fire. You had to mix all the ingredients. Today, so many things are prepared for us, and a lot of that work is taken away. But even grinding your wheat. So God gives us this example to show that even if you have heavy baking to do, that should be done prior to the Sabbath day so that you can enjoy that day and you're not slaving away in the kitchen for hours getting that ready. And yet we do want to eat a meal and we can do light preparation. So you think about this is so typical of man and what they do. And so this principle is just as vital for us today of getting ready, preparing thing. You know, think about today. If you're in school, you have to prepare to take a test. Or if you're going to go on vacation, you need to prepare and reserve a room so when you get there, the hotel's not filled up. Man knows that we should prepare, but many times we don't always do that for the Sabbath day. But what preparation does is allows more time to build our relationship with God and with each other. So that this day, truly, we take a break from all those other 6 days of activities, and we have extra time to do the things that God has set for us to do. It even gives us more time to enjoy with our families. Many times during the week, it's just so rushed. But today, without all that extra, we can enjoy so many things. Verse 30 says, so the people rested on the seventh day. And that word rested is once again the word Shabbath. They ceased from their work, just as the Creator had rested, had Sabbathed from his work. So should we. And so the Sabbath becomes more of a delight as we lessen our workload. So that's why, as we've been in the church many years and we kind of just get used to these things, but that's why we go gas up the car. If we need that to get to services, we do it on Friday. We don't leave it for the Sabbath. You know, in an emergency, you might have to do it. Some ministers travel more than a tank full on the Sabbath day, so they have to stop. But the idea is we do as much as we can so that we can better delight in that day. We have our groceries prepared so that we're not running to the store that day. That we have our meals prepared to a large degree if there's a lot of work involved. And God is giving us these lessons so that we have balance. That's the key. That it's not, we don't want to go to the other ditch and set these rules where you can't even flip a switch or carry a key, but we do want to honor it as holy. So we need to find that balance and walk as Jesus Christ did. Turn with me back to Numbers 15. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 32. Even though God was leading Israel, you think about the poor example that they set as they walked through the wilderness. They didn't follow his instructions, as we're told to today. Numbers 15 and verse 32. Here's an example for us that we'll read. It says, now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. So they knew the rule. They were told not to work, not to gather sticks. But they never got to the next point of figuring out what the punishment was. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Brethren, this example is recorded for all time. And we can be thankful that every time we've broken the Sabbath in the past that we weren't stoned. But God still hates sin as much as he did back then. And we can see here that the punishment is severe. That's how much God doesn't want us to break this day. And yet now when we do mess up, we have a Savior. We can repent and be forgiven and go on and improve. And so today we're not stoned if we break the Sabbath day, but we will be judged. And the key is that repentance, so we're growing and it won't be held over our heads, and allow Jesus Christ to pay that penalty. But we can overlook this at times. And yet God is very clear that he wants us to prepare. This man took it lightly, and he went out and simply gathered some firewood to, you know, to warm the house or to bake the food, whatever it was. And God is saying, this is a lesson. Look at the punishment. It's severe. You know, I have an example that I think I'll tie in with that. Years ago, I lived in the state of Kansas. And during the winters there, some of those winter days were severe. I mean, it could get down to minus 20 and 30. And if you were out driving, you know, you got the comfort of your car, you turn on the heat, you don't think much about it. But we knew if you were in Kansas very long, you learned you better be prepared. And so you took extra clothing, you took extra food, water, you made sure that you wouldn't run out of gas. You checked those items. Because you know what? The penalty was severe. And every year on the news, I would hear about this older couple or these young kids that slid off the road and they froze to death. Or their car broke down and they froze to death every single year. And most of the cases were because they weren't prepared. And that's what God is asking us to do. He's telling us to be prepared. You know, have your sticks gathered, so to speak. Have your gas bought. Have your groceries bought. And delight in my Sabbath day so that I can bless you. And so we think about that penalty of death. That's what those individuals died because they weren't prepared. And God says that's what we deserve. And he's asking us to learn and grow here. And so do we think about our preparation for every seventh day? Have we let down? Are there areas that we haven't even considered yet? Because we're still developing and growing. You know, for example, during the winter here, it doesn't get that cold, but during the winter, the sun goes down earlier. And if we have a potluck the next day, if you work all day and you get off at, let's say, 5 and sundown is at 5:30, that doesn't give you much time to run to the store or to start preparing the meal. So you have to back it up. You might have to purchase your groceries Thursday night and start some of the basic preparation so that Friday evening, that 30 minutes, you just throw the last items together or whatever it is so that we keep that day holy. So God is asking us to think about that, how we observe this day. Let's turn next to John 19 and verse 31. John chapter 19, and we'll begin in verse 31. I want us to think about preparation not only for the Sabbath day, but for God's high days, his holy days, those annual feasts that God has given us. Because every year, when I'm at the Feast of Tabernacles, and that opening service is the first night, and at sundown begins a holy day. And every year at the feast, I see people coming in late because they weren't prepared. Coming in late, they go, oh, I've been driving all day, and I just got here, and they come in the middle of services. Or some of them, I hear the next day, oh, we didn't make it last night. We just got in. We're unpacking our cars, and we're doing all this. We're setting up our hotel arrangements. And I want us to think about that. You know, once again, that day is holy. That high day, this Sabbath day is holy, and we need to think about it. Here's an example here, John 19, verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, so notice that term used again, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. So this wasn't the weekly Sabbath. We know in that year when Christ died, he died on a Wednesday. So this Thursday was the first day of unleavened bread. And it was a holy day as well. And it says, it was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other, who was crucified with him, in other words, with Christ. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. The point here is, it's showing us that the principle is that the Jews, and even us today, they wanted to be prepared for the Sabbath day. They wanted to have Christ buried before the sun went down, and they didn't want to do all that work in preparing his body and so forth. And so we have an example even for the annual feast days that God wants us to be prepared for. So we need to prepare for all of God's holy days, our cars, our clothes, our food, because it gives us more time to honor God. It gives us extra time to talk to God. to study his words, to fellowship with our brethren, to assemble together, and to meditate, to spend time with family. And we could go on and on. God says, I want you to delight in this day, but if you leave too much of your workload, then you won't appreciate it in the same way. And so the more we prepare, especially physically, but also mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, the more we prepare, the more we can delight in this special day. Let's look at one last point. Point number three, discern between holy and unholy. Discern between holy and unholy. You know, the last place I lived, Belinda and I were there for 15 years. And we never mentioned to the neighbors, and they never asked once where we were going on the Sabbath day. And yet, week after week, they saw us getting dressed up, getting in our car, and driving away. So one day, I think we'd probably been there 10, 12 years, and you thought, well, did they even know where we're going? They've never asked. But one day, one of my neighbors was talking to the other neighbor across the street, and as they were talking, they looked over to me and said, hey, would you go to church today, pray for us? And then he mentioned the item. And I thought, yes, they know. We'd never said we were going to church, not once, but they knew. And so people watch, and that kind of refers back to that sign. The Sabbath is a sign. But we have to think about what's holy and what's not holy. No matter how long we've been in the church, we're still learning that, aren't we? I mean, each one of you, even if you've been here 50 years, you're still learning how to be in line with God of what is holy and what is not holy, so that we know what we should and shouldn't do on this day. Turn with me back to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 8. You know, Judah had let down in God's laws, and God gave them a list of sins, and they were breaking these laws, and he says, here, the Sabbath is included with this, and he wanted them to remember that. Ezekiel, I should say, 22 verse 8, God says to them, you have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. See how important that is? And so we have to ask ourselves, is there anything we do to profane this day? A holy day. Profaning means to treat something sacred, something that is sacred, with irreverence or disrespect. See, this day is sacred to God. Only God can make it that way, and he's saying, you are my children, and even tells us to be holy, for he is holy. And so we have to make sure we don't profane this day. Because when we ignore a Sabbath command here or there, we're profaning it. We're taking it lightly. Skipping down to verse 15, it says, I will scatter you among the nations, disperse you throughout the countries, and remove your filthiness completely from you. One of the reasons? Breaking the Sabbath. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the differences between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. And so we started out today, we talked about the book of Isaiah, and there's three ways that we can profane God's Sabbath. I'll just mention those. One of them was doing our own ways, doing our own thing. We have to ask, you know, is God acceptable of what I'm doing? We have to make an effort to let go of the non-holy items, as it refers here, to let go of those things, things that would be okay the other 6 days, and not profane God's day. So we have to examine whether we're watching television. If we choose to watch something on the Sabbath day, is it bringing honor to God? Is it keeping holy? You know, there's all these things, and I learned a certain way from my parents, and I had to adapt that a little bit because for some families, they go a little too far one way or the other. So you have to think about that. Or if you get on Facebook, if you play video games, we have to think about all these things, or letting our kids play certain games. Is it holy? We have to discern between the two. The second thing Isaiah mentioned was not finding our own pleasure. So God is asking us to delight in this day, but he says, don't do your own will, do mine. And so the church is not here to set rules like the Pharisees and saying, no, you can't do that, you can't do that. No, we're not here to do that. We're here to instruct on the guidelines that God has given. And under those guidelines, we have examples of, you know, preparing and not doing certain things, you know, work-related and so forth. But we have to think about that because God wants us to have time to enjoy a nice meal with our family. You know, the Sabbath day is a wonderful time to do something out of the norm and where your family prepares a special brunch on the Sabbath or a nice Friday evening meal that most of the work was done prior to the Sabbath, but then you enjoy that time together. Talking about God's ways, sharing with your family, your children, things that God has done for us and what he's preparing to do in the future. You remember, the Sabbath is a feast day. It's listed as one of those feasts in Leviticus 23. So it's not a day to just mope around and even skip a meal. I mean, most times I don't choose to ever fast on a Sabbath day because it's a feast day. Now, if there's an emergency, I think that would be fine. But the idea is, God says, I want you to feast not only on the physical food, but on the spiritual food that I have prepared for you. And the other item that Isaiah mentioned here concerning holy and unholy is not speaking our own words. You know, how many times do we hear our brethren here and at feast sites, wherever we go, talking about things that, yes, they're acceptable all week long. But if we're talking about our work overly, talking about our chores and all these different things, there's a balance there, isn't there? So I'm not going to say we can't bring up our work, because that would be too restrictive, because there might be an application, say, I was at work and this happened and I talked about this Bible topic with the individual. So, there's so many ways to look at it, but the idea is we can really bring our weekly conversations to church with us and really not discern between what's holy and unholy. So we need to think about that as well. It's easy to slip up and think about, talk about, or do things that are not holy. And God is asking us as his children to really think about that. Notice verse 30 here. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. So we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to stand in the gap, to stand up for God's way? Because God's talking about the Sabbath and how Israel and Judah had walked away and not observe these. And God says, you know, he's looking through his prophet. Is anybody willing to stand up? Verse 31, therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. Why? Because they weren't willing to stand up. They weren't willing to discern what is holy and unholy, as it mentions in this chapter. And so you think about many of the Jewish regulations that we've heard about here and there. They have a rule that, and I'm not putting down the Jews, I'm just saying there are individuals who believe that you have to follow these man-made rules, and these aren't the rules of God. And we have to be careful not adding to what God has made. But they have extreme rules, like if your house is on fire, you cannot carry your clothes outside. Well, anything you can wear is okay. So if your house is on fire, if you want that pile of clothes, you've got to put it on, run outside, take it all off, go back in, put it back on. See, they've made these extreme rules that they try to follow. But to me, that's a burden. You know, we have to stop and think about how we live. And do we add to God's law? Are we saying this is unholy when God says, no, I'm not saying that. He's saying that is holy. And so man comes up with ideas that are not in line with God's truth. And so it's a learning process. We're not only to cease from our physical labor, but we're to add in these things that are holy. Consider what we think about, what we talk about. Weigh that out so that it's proper before the Most High, the one who gave us life. He's saying, here's the guidelines, my children. I want you to live by them. And it is difficult to switch, I think all of us admit. You know, if I can talk about this item an hour before sundown, and then all of a sudden an hour later I can't, it's like my mind has to stop and think about it. And sometimes we catch ourselves and say, no, I think I'll wait on that conversation. I'll wait on talking about that bill that it's like, oh, you know, it's on our minds, but we have to put it aside because God is teaching us to do that. The real key is to study the life of Jesus Christ and to see how he walked on the Sabbath day, to walk carefully and to abide by God's laws, to follow that example that he set. Let's finish up here in Luke chapter 6 today. Luke chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, the Pharisees had added many regulations around God's laws, and those 39 categories that I mentioned, they expanded that to hundreds of rules. I mean, some of them got pretty ridiculous. And I understand the purpose. I mean, they were trying to keep God's laws, but when you start adding too many of man's laws, we really mess it up. So let's notice here in Luke 6 and verse 1, "Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?'" So the Pharisees, in their minds, with these 39 rules they had of you couldn't plow, you couldn't harvest, you couldn't do this, you couldn't carry, and this, under their rules, was unlawful. But here they're saying it to the Lord of the Sabbath. Notice what he says. "But Jesus answering them said, 'Have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him?'" So he goes on to describe, you know, how Jesus is trying to inform them that this is acceptable. Let's skip down to verse 6. "Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him." Here's another man-made regulation. It's like, you can't heal. And Jesus Christ, you know, he is our healer, and he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He knew exactly what to do. "But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Arise and stand here.' And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?" Brethren, you think about that. It's wonderful to do things that are good, and God, through Jesus Christ, shows us those things, healing or eating a snack. I mean, you know, we know that some of the rules the Pharisees had were you could only walk a certain distance. It was called a Sabbath day's journey. And yet, how wonderful it would be to go out and walk and see God's creation and talk with your kids about how God made the trees, or he did this, and the variety and the abundance and the beauty. And yet they said, no, you can only walk this little distance, and you can't pick up this item, and you can't do that. So we have to think about the goals that we have and how to grow and mature, and whether we've been in the church for 6 months or 40 years. There's things that we can learn. There's things we can improve in so that we keep this day holy before God. The idea is to do good in our approach, to weigh each situation out, and not to judge others while we're doing that. Because it's easy to say, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. But you know, 40 years ago, I might have been doing that. And so who am I to judge somebody? We can encourage someone, but we have to be careful not to try to bring them to where we're at 40 years later. We need to give them time, just like God gives all of us time, to grow, to develop, to improve. Verse 10, "And when he had looked around at all of them, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." Rather than think about the way this is describing how we can become if we're not careful. That same attitude of attacking things and disagreeing with what Jesus Christ taught. And so God has given us a day of rest. You know, it's not a day to sleep half the day to make up for the week and all that. But it's a day of rest to sleep in a little bit or to take a nap occasionally too. It's not a day to clean house, but if we spill something, we can clean it up. You know, I've heard individuals in the church in the last couple of years, they go, "That got spilled, and they'll just leave it there." And I go, no, you know, we have to use balance. We're not trying to do work, but if you drop an item or spill a glass of water, you got to wipe it up. And so it's balance and how to look at it so that we're like Jesus Christ. He got hungry, so he plucked some grain. There was nothing wrong with that. So we know in the Bible, and I won't even refer to that this time, but, you know, the ox in the ditch situation. There are those things that come up that normally we wouldn't do on the Sabbath day. But if it's to help someone, to heal someone like Jesus did, but to help them in a way. You know, years ago, you know, my neighbor came up and said my sprinkler was broken. And my day for watering, my irrigation over, when I lived in Orlando, was on Saturdays. But I didn't have to go out and water. I didn't have to do anything. It was on a timer. It just came on every Sabbath. I didn't have to do anything. But, you know, if that's broken, then I can't just say, well, it's okay, it's shooting up, just let it waste water, I can't go out and touch it. No. So there's balance once again. But I also don't run to Home Depot and say, oh, I got to repair it now and do all that. No, I switch it to another station or turn it off and pick it up from there on Sunday. And so we have to think about everything we do. Does it honor God? Do we have balance? Are we setting an example? The Sabbath is more than just not going to work, not going to school, not going to that Friday night baseball game. It's more than just not doing our laundry or bills or taking care of the yard work. It's about God giving us extra time to be holy, to study, to pray, to meditate, to fast, to take a walk, to enjoy a nice meal, to be with family, to assemble together, to worship, to fellowship, to hear God's words. It's all these things and more that God is sharing with us. He wants us to meditate. He wants us to even have time, if we can, to go visit the widows and orphans. What a wonderful thing to do on the Sabbath if you have the opportunity. God is asking us to delight in this day, to really think about what that means. And we have the Bible, and as we study it, some of these examples jump out at us over time, and we see them in a different light. And so there's so much more to share about this day, and I think I'll pick this message up again next time and share other points about the Sabbath that are in the Bible and that are so important. And yet we know both Israel and Judah let down in keeping the Sabbath holy. And I think about the majority of people that I've known growing up in this church. I would say over half, probably 70 or 80% of all those who once walked this way, that once met in congregations such as this, no longer do it. And it staggers me in one way, and yet I know we're human and we let down. I've even looked back at my life and I see times in my life when I let down and I did not keep the Sabbath holy as God intends. And so we all have areas we can pick up and do better. And it's so easy to stay as we are, and yet God tells us, he says, grow in my grace and knowledge. So no matter where you're at in your conversion and your maturity, think about that, how you can keep the Sabbath holy as God intended. Because this day is very special to God, and therefore it should be special to us. He tells us it's blessed, it's sanctified, it's holy, it's hallowed, it's a sign. Brethren, that in other terms, think about what God has done through this special day that the majority of the world doesn't even know about. He's saying, I've given this to you as a sign that you're my people. But we can sit here every week and the sign wouldn't be true to us if we're not keeping it holy. We have to keep it properly as a sign. And so we need to think about that. So let's continue to learn how to delight in God's Sabbath day. To think about what Isaiah said there, that if we do that, God says that he will help us to ride on the high hills of the earth, that he will feed us with the heritage of Jacob. Think about what that is. That means that we will have the opportunity to be the sons and daughters of God. And so this is just one aspect of God's law, but let's continue to grow and learn and delight in God's Sabbath day.